This I believe. Lord Rochdale is a top British industrialist, politician, and soldier. In addition to heading his family's wool textiles firm of Kelsall and Kemp, he is vice president of the National Union of Manufacturers. During the Second World War, he served as a colonel in the British Army and was attached to the U.S. Navy and Marines in the Pacific Theater. This is what Lord Rochdale believes.
We live in momentous and curious times, and I'm not infrequently tempted to ask myself, what is the purpose of it all? When I allow myself time for such speculation, I find that it is invariably to waste it. I find my thoughts going round and round, usually to return to the admission that in retrospect, so much of our modern human exertions seem no more than vanity and vexation of spirit, or in modern colloquialism, mere froth and bubble, and of no enduring importance and little significance. What then is important? I believe that the really important things of this life are usually the simplest. A happy, contented, and love-filled home. Friendliness with all whom I come in contact in my daily work. A keen but kindly sense of humor. Understanding and truth, and such like. Even a happy memory. Certainly no one can steal that from me. I have in fact found that when these are absent, my ability to deal with the intricate business and other difficult problems that so constantly arise is correspondingly weakened. I have proved that if I allow myself to be fearful, worried, irritated, annoyed, or even sarcastic, which I find all too easy, it results in far more discomfort for myself than for anyone else. That is not to advocate what might be regarded as a soft, flabby, or indifferent attitude to life, nor is it in any way easy. But I am convinced that an approach to life along those lines gives me greater confidence, greater ability to discern essential points and see through difficult problems, greater determination to get things done and done quickly and effectively, greater understanding of other men's motives, greater endurance under trying conditions. Certainly that was true during my service in World War II. I have not always recognized this as clearly as I believe I do today, but I have proved, over and over again, that if I have a desire for something, this approach offers the most likely way to success. Of course, that doesn't mean to say that I always get what I want, but when I fail, defeat somehow seems more reasonable, more easily accepted, and the sooner forgotten. The conclusion that I come to is that the first essential is to be at peace with those around me. In no other way can I be at peace with myself. When I have got thus far, problems so often tend to fall into an easier perspective, such that in time the most persistent problems sometimes seem even to resolve themselves. For true happiness, however, there is something else required. A proper sense of my responsibilities to others, as opposed, of course, to an exaggerated sense of my own importance. I have, of course, a responsibility to my family and to my church, in my normal social intercourse, as well as in my business. But I also have a responsibility in my hometown, my country, and state. In a democratic country, whenever I cast my vote, I contribute in a very real sense towards guiding the world's destiny. That is a sobering thought and a very real responsibility. If, therefore, I am ever tempted to complain that life is not as simple and placid as I am led to believe, it may have been in my father's and grandfather's times, I turn and ask myself if it is not rather a privilege, a matter for rejoicing, that God has given me for a priceless dower to live in these great times and have my part in freedom's crowning hour. I never find myself in any doubt as to the answer.
There the creed of England's Lord Rochdale. He is known for his original and constructive ideas in the field of industrial development.